I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Just another manic Monday, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Senegal are the champions of Africa, and there's still plenty of magic in the FA Cup. It's Monday, 7th of February. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Oh, my giddy aunt, ladies and gentlemen. What a weekend of football. What a weekend of football, Jim Campbell.
Too much, if anything.
Too many giddy aunts. It's just a big room of giddy aunts.
It was like
elbow your way through the giddy aunts.
Proper family reunion for the giddy aunts this weekend. They have been on the Malibu and they are sloshed. They are giddier than ever. So much to cram into this running order.
It really is.
Calm down, football.
Who's still aroused? I am.
Where did that come from?
Come with me.
Well,
ooh, if you might.
So, again, the aunts. There's a lot of aunts around.
Not over the aunts. Okay.
I will get aroused over the aunts.
We really sort of thought, where do we begin today?
And the decisions we've made are confusing even in that context.
I just stared out of the WhatsApp argument and then turned up the show half an hour later. So.
You were very good. I think I said this was the easiest prediction that I've ever made. I said, if the AFCON final finishes 0-0 and goes to the inevitable penalty shootout, then we'll maybe not start with it. And then after it did, and after the way it panned out, I thought, actually, I think we'll start with that. Which is where we begin, everybody. Yes. The African Cup of Nations final, of course. It was 0-0 and Senegal won 4-2 on penalties. And I'd like to begin with the opening line of Jonathan Wilson's report, because he's out there. I think that was his 10th African Cup of Nations final. He has covered that tournament extensively and very admirably, I might add. And he said it was a dreadful final to the end of a largely dreadful tournament. But in the end, it came down to a moment of the purest drama and the great redemption of Sadio Mane. And I think, Jim, that encapsulates it, because really, it wasn't a great tournament. There was, the refereeing was in question. Of course, we had the awful situation with 8 people dying. But staying on the football, there was a lot of games that went to penalties. There wasn't many high-scoring games. This was a final, which Senegal, I think, were pre-tournament favourites. Obviously, Egypt are the most successful side in the tournament's history. We thought, this is not going to be great. It goes to penalties. However, what an ending, though.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's all because of Sadio Mane actually having a penalty saved early on, isn't it? You're thinking, is this going to be an Asamoah Gyan moment, where it's like it comes back, that moment was there and is gone, and you think about it the whole time.
I don't think Jean could hit a ball that hard, to be honest. He was like, I hit that as hard as I bloody could, and I did the longest run-up I could possibly do, and he still managed to get an hand on it.
Well,
rubbish.
Of course, the Jan reference in 2010, he did take a penalty in the shootout and scored, but of course they lost.
Yeah, it's sort of the other way around almost, isn't it? Yeah. But Mane, he hit it so hard the first time, and the goalkeeper, who's one of the stories of the tournament, third choice goalkeeper coming into the tournament, due to injuries, he ends up saving four penalties across the tournament, including I suppose that would have been in shootout as well, wouldn't it? Yeah. But unbelievable from him, absolutely unbelievable.
Can I say it was Goya Kachere-esque?
You can absolutely.
For those who remember the 1990 World Cup,
it was really impressive from him, and on a personal level, it was a shame to see him obviously in pieces at the end, but.
Yeah. Well, he didn't do enough, did he?
He clearly didn't.
You're not going to save that.
That's why you're third choice, isn't it? Try a bit harder, you might be first choice. Yeah. But he wasn't missing that second time, was he? He was just like a man possessed.
The first one, he was just tuning up, wasn't he?
And absolutely. It almost feels, I don't know, maybe this is just like because we seek stories as human beings, but I feel like it's rare that it goes that way, that someone gets the chance of redemption like that within the same match.
And you could say that about the manager Cissé as well, of course, missed the decisive kick in the 2002 final, was it?
Mane has missed penalties for Senegal before.
Well, he missed one in a quarter final, which put them out in a previous tournament. He'd missed a couple in, I think it was 2019, where he said, I'm off penalties. But then, of course, he took the one against, was it Zimbabwe in their opening game of this tournament, where he smashed it in. Mm-hmm. But he went that, if my memory serves me, he went that side. And he thought, right, I'll go for power. I'll hit it across my body. But Gabaski in goal knew. And if he didn't already know, then Mohamed Salah certainly put him right, didn't they? I mean, that's the kind of drama. Because this, again, there was no goals in 120 minutes. And we weren't really that close other than the penalty, which came in the first 3 minutes. But there was narrative all over the gaff. Mm-hmm. Senegal hadn't won the cup. Egypt are the most successful team in the cup's long history. And then, of course, Peter, when we see Mohamed Salah talking to Gabaski just before he takes it, and you see Mane walk up, not say anything to Salah, he's like, get back on your line, don't talk to him. Oh my goodness, that is high drama.
Well, Gabaski had all of the penalty takers drawn on his side of his water bottle, which I very much enjoyed. Didn't need a chat.
Tim Krul-esque. Yes, exactly.
Krul doesn't even need that, to be honest. He just stands there and goes, I'm the best at this.
He does. He very much does. I mean, Senegal attacked Egypt from the off.
They did.
Which was quite enjoyable. I remember
Egypt did not want to play football at any point during that fucking match. They were terrible.
But mostly throughout the tournament.
Them. Yeah.
Like it was really dull. It was very dull from it. It was dreadful. Classic Carlos Queiroz, to be honest.
Yes.
And I mean, that was their fourth set of extra time in a row. Every knockout game, they would have
become the first side to win a major tournament by winning three penalty shootouts to do so. Mm-hmm. Had they have won that. I think for any football purist, I think, well, thank goodness that.
that should be impossible. Right?
Yeah.
That should not be encouraged.
Exactly. But to give them their due, Ivory Coast, Morocco, Cameroon, they beat on the way there. That is, I mean, if they'd have beaten Senegal, penalties, we understand that. But you've got to win. You've got to win a game, and if they can't beat Egypt during normal and then extra time, you know that is the rule. So it's a legitimate way to go through.
Yeah.
So they've did it the hard way. I mean, you compare that to Senegal who beat Cape Verde, who, you know, they were firm favourites against Equatorial Guinea. Burkina Faso, a stronger opponent, but again, Senegal didn't really struggle too much. So their big game was against Egypt. But the penalty shootout itself, I'm very much of the opinion, and Jamie Carragher was quite vocal on Twitter about this, why is Salah taking the fifth penalty?
Yeah.
Silly.
Because you run the risk of exactly what's happened.
Absolutely right.
Which is that you never get to use him.
Well, it happened with Ronaldo against Spain in the Euros. I think it was 2012 in the semi-final when he didn't get to take his, and you can see him huffing and puffing. It's like, well, because actually Ben Littleton, who's done an extensive research, if anybody's interested in penalty shootouts a bit more than your average, a real pervert for penalties, then check out...
the lottery, isn't it? is that what his findings have concluded?
In
this essay,
it turns out, having studied this for 10 years and written books, it is just a lottery. But there is a way to win the national lottery. He says, Ben Littleton says, the first and fourth penalties are the crucial ones.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting. So I think because we've seen teams not get to the fifth. If that is the case, why not put Salah on the fourth? I mean, clearly. But then Salah taking their fifth, or was due to, then Mane taking their fifth. They both had the same idea. Mm-hmm. And it was Senegal who came out in that little gamble, of course. So, I mean, yeah, when Mane steps up, you think this is going to happen. He looked a bit nervous at one point, didn't he? When he was sort of looking around. And then when he took it, you thought, yes. Sol Bamba-esque.
It is fantastic for Senegal. The scenes at full-time are great. And Aliou Cissé is Senegalese as well.
Yes.
And that's just a...
And he's fucking handsome.
Yeah. Yeah. But they've needed this for such a long time. It's been, they're kind of... They're the biggest team in Africa not to have won the AFCON, really, you might argue. Mm. Certainly in terms of like the pedigree of the team.
Certainly this century.
And it's fantastic and so well deserved. Can we just acknowledge that the third place playoff was the best game of the tournament?
We can.
If you didn't see it, Burkina Faso went 3-0 up. Cameroon then brought Vincent Aboubakar on, who...
He fancied the golden boot.
He did fancy the golden boot. Cameroon got it back to 3-3. Aboubakar scored twice to take himself up to 8 goals of the tournament. Then Cameroon won it on penalties. The scenes at the end, you'd think they would have won the whole thing.
Well, I think because of what happened, you know, with the deaths of those supporters... it was their tournament, they're 3-0 down. I think all of that goes into it. And I know those things are extremely different, of course. One of them horrifically severe and the other two really just, you know, happened to be the case. But, you know, all of that going into the same sort of thing, I think that's probably why they were quite sort of delighted. Yeah, But Aboubakar, yes, he got the golden boot, looked delighted to accept it. But I think he was almost a bit like, well, if no one else wants to score goals in this tournament, I'll bloody do it and I'll get a lot. So he did very well. I mean, the trophy presentation was a bit strange, wasn't it? African Cup. No, I mean, very enjoyable, though. But the two sides, they meet again next month in a World Cup playoff.
Yes.
Which is quite nice,
but it's also a shame. You would hope both of those teams would have a chance of being there, but that is not the case.
Well, Africa only gets, what, 5 places? There we are. But well bloody done, Senegal. I think any neutral would have been right behind you there. Excellent stuff. Right, we turn our attention to the Football Association Cup, which is the oldest cup competition, of course, in England. Peter, you were spotted on Match of the Day at Crystal Palace versus Hartlepool.
On a long lens, yeah, I was.
Making your debut.
But for a change, though, you were fully clothed on this long lens.
Yeah, I didn't try and punch any of the players like that Leicester supporter. I love watching football at Palace. Chris Tilly and Alex from Clash of the Titles went down. We got to hang out with Chris's dad, Ted Tilly, a Crystal Palace supporting legend.
Ted Tilly.
Good old Ted Tilly. He's very adamant that Crystal Palace are older than they actually seem. They're apparently, according to the rules set forth with the Sheffield clubs being one of the oldest in the league, the Crystal Palace supporters reckon that Crystal Palace are the oldest in the league because they were there at the very beginning. But the FA have said, no, you're not. Yeah. So they're having this little kind of battle. So that was fascinating. But Hartlepool tried to play football and it just didn't work for them, really. They went behind and it was really fun and great to see the Hartlepool fans in fine voice. And I think the Crystal Palace team and indeed club paid for the coaches down and also put some money in for the charity for the manager's wife, who's not very well, unfortunately. So, a really, really good afternoon.
With the subsidies of the travel, did you claim on that as well?
I didn't claim on that. No. Okay. No, I got 3 trains from where I live in Essex.
You were sat in quite a prominent position because I thought they probably put up all of Hartlepool's.
Ted Tilly's got great season tickets.
Well, I assumed it was all Hartlepool's kind of famous sons and daughters were there.
Paraded.
Yeah, didn't see Stelling.
Jeff Stelling
wasn't
there.
Just didn't see Stelling, no.
What about the canoe man?
Well, you don't know, do you? maybe he's sat in
the last thing he wants is to appear in public.
Yeah. It was a really, really fun canals. It was another match where the match got stopped because of a medical emergency in the stand. And this is going to sound really callous and really weird, but I hope you understand the spirit in which this is delivered. There has to be something that changes, and there needs to be a little bit of leadership from the FA's position, because fans in the ground cannot be waving on every single time somebody is taken unwell in the stands. It's not up to them to make that decision. They have to have the confidence for stadiums, certainly at Premier League level, certainly with where there's over 10,000 people in the place. that there is enough medical, speedy medical service for the stand. And it's going to get to a point where it just gets weirder and weirder, and this thing happens over and over again. And that I didn't even realise that the anti-vaxxers, as I said, it's something to do with fucking vaccines and all that bollocks. I find it's going to come to a head pretty soon, and the FA have to show a bit of leadership on that, because it was another game in which something happens. I've heard that the Hartlepool fan in question was fine, although it certainly wasn't something too serious. So I hope he gets well soon. But it's going to have to change sooner rather than later, I think.
The problem with that is the wanting the FA to show leadership.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, look, if someone's taking on the stands and you're a family member, you want them to have the best care they possibly can. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be some confidence in the stadium provisions rather than fans just waving the medical staff from the dugout, which is happening in every match pretty much lately. It's weird and strange.
Have you ever been spotted on Match of the Day, Jim?
Not to my knowledge.
I have.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And we'll leave it at that.
What were you doing?
Watching a match.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't playing, was
what,
I?
What were you doing at Selhurst Park?
I was watching a match.
Okay. One of the big stories of the weekend was Boreham Wood beating Bournemouth 1-0 on the South Coast. Non-league Boreham Wood are the only survivors outside the top two tiers. And in the club's first ever fourth round tie. And only 10 non-league sides since the Second World War have made it to the fifth round of the FA Cup.
You like it.
74 places between them and Bournemouth in the footballing pyramid. Bournemouth, of course, strong ambitions to get promoted this season to the Premier League. But I love this. Even Scott Parker was just like, well, you know, the magic of the FA Cup. And I was like,
Scott.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll hide behind that.
Yeah, exactly. 37-year-old personal trainer Mark Ricketts with the winner. I mean, when Boreham Wood manager Luke Garrard said, we signed Mark 6 years ago and we were told he had no legs. The medical team did an incredible job to get him ready for this game. Now, don't take that quote too literally, of course. But
like the million-dollar man.
Exactly, yeah. But that is it. 37-year-old scoring a goal against a possible Premier League team next season.
But that does show you what the level is. That it takes, doesn't it?
Yes. Like
they've had a medical team working on the man. Mm. He himself is a personal trainer. Like that's what it takes to even be on the pitch.
And he's on loads of drugs.
Legal ones.
Legal ones.
Yeah, for crying out loud. Yeah, Garrard went on to say, I'm in tatters. We are such a dysfunctional family. But is what is helping us get our results.
I don't think this manager should be allowed to do presses. Because Mark Ricketts has played 162 matches since 2016.
He's rubbish.
He hasn't got any legs. Rubbish.
Against my better opinion, I picked him.
Can I have this as an Arsenal win?
No.
Because our youth team play at Boreham Wood and the women's team.
Jim, come on.
All right. I'm just asking the question.
You should be supporting Nottingham Forest in the FA Cup right now.
No, that's not how it works.
Yeah, the team that beat your team become your team. I now support Man City. Well, of course, a Fulham loanee, Ashby Hammond, produced some great saves at the death to deny Bournemouth. So if we're going to talk about that, Jim, people from London clubs making a splash on the South Coast on the weekends very specifically, then I think we've got to mention Fulham. But Boreham Wood, they're unbeaten in 17. They're gunning for promotion to the Football League for the first time in their history, yet to concede in the Cup so far. Mm. It's very impressive. And the way they started the game, they were pressing Bournemouth and so on. They had the better of it. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous because Bournemouth did have 82% of the possession. They had none of the goals, though.
They're a dysfunctional family, though. You try and play a dysfunctional family.
Absolutely right.
It's like playing the Osbournes. Sharon!
Sharon!
Jared!
They were brilliant. And it only towards the end, Bournemouth started having a few chances. Billing missed a good chance.
Yeah. Mm.
And Solanke, was there. But just absolutely wonderful scenes at the end of that game.
Yeah.
You know when a team has done something incredible? Because if it cuts to the crowd, there's often applause and sort of a few fists in the air. There was no clapping. It was just arms were going everywhere.
Yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
Absolute delirium.
Yeah. And the last 5 minutes,
diving into the crowd.
Last 5 minutes was just, they were under the cosh, obviously.
Yeah.
That's the best part of the FA Cup, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sneaking a 1-0 and then there's the keeper just being absolutely so busy in the last five. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant.
And they just completely rode their luck as well, didn't they? It was a proper, smash and grab sort of victory. It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's what you want.
It is what you want. They got Everton in the next round.
Yeah.
But what a trip, though, to Goodison Park.
I know, right? Yeah.
Frank Lampard.
Maybe they'll do it again.
Maybe they'll do it again. Imagine that. Lampard, obviously, they beat Brentford 4-1. Had a great...
By the next round, it's all fallen apart. Feel good factor's finished. New manager bounce is over.
That's it. Back to
They've spent 400 million quid somehow. It's all panned out terribly.
Yeah, they got Newcastle Tuesday.
Do they?
They might put them to the sword.
Chance for some more feel-good factor.
A Newcastle Tuesday sounds like a really ominous thing in your diary, doesn't it?
Yeah, I shouldn't really have put them to the sword, really. Newcastle's ownership.
Yeah, well... Frank Lampard looked very happy, though, didn't he, Peter?
He did look very happy.
Yeah. He was pumped.
I mean, he's happy to be back, isn't he? He's happy to sort of have that win under his belt against
a really
some lowly opposition.
Wow, yeah, Brentford. Look at where they are. They're higher than Everton.
All right,
the league.
Fine. Yeah, but Brentford have flattered and deceived a lot of times this season. They're massively off the boat.
You're right,
they are coming
Pete.
Back
it's shit,
forum.
Isn't it? What's he smiling about?
Wankers conceded a goal, didn't they? How dare you enjoy that, Frank? Didn't he say, Frank Lampard, that... losing a game as a manager sometimes hurts more than it did as a player. And he said winning a game as a manager actually sometimes gets more satisfaction than
oh, really?
Player, which I thought was very interesting, considering what he achieved.
I control
as a
all of this.
But he was delighted. I mean, when Andros Townsend scored the fourth, he and I were both absolutely
loving
both
it. Big fans.
Well, I'll tell you something.
What's that put him on for the season? I assume
usually
track that.
Yeah, I think he's on like 19 or something. For the season.
Yeah, Glenn Hoddle was very angry with Dele Alli's sartorial lack of elegance.
Yeah.
What did you make of that?
It was not something that I would wear.
Or to be unveiled to
because that would
club.
Be too fancy for me. It costs that much money to look that poor.
Yeah, very, very, very true. Yeah, him and Donny van der Beek were sort of unveiled before the game. Mm. Van der Beek looks sort of fairly sharp and, you know, well-dressed. He'd get into a provincial nightclub. Dele Alli wouldn't.
He'd have to go and get some kickers on.
Yeah, and that's how we rate
put
it.
Put his socks over his shoes.
That's how what they should say. Just look like you're going to get into a provincial nightclub, okay? And then people will... Apparently 7 goals this season so far for Andros Townsend.
Oh, thank you. Did you pull it out of your mind?
No.
Your mind
palace? I was handed a piece of paper, which also says, up yours PTD on it.
Oh, that's rude.
Not my words. The words
from Dennis the Menace.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. So, yeah, we look forward to Everton hosting Boreham Wood in the next round of the Cup. There's only, what's there, 16 teams left in the tournament. Boreham Wood are one of them.
Fun.
Get a load of that. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break. And after that, we'll talk more FA Cup action.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Yeah.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and YouTuber Chris Broad as we offer you a taste of life in the most exciting country in the world on our podcast, Abroad in Japan. Whether it's crazy bars, unique vending machines, or tips for learning Japanese, we cover it all. Recently, we even heard a particularly unique chat-up line.
While we were chatting, a local Japanese guy in his early 30s made his way over to me and started chatting in broken English. Ooh. Our chat about general stuff was going all right before he proudly announced, "I like big girls." To me,
wow.
To me, with a wink. Truly flattering, flirting right there.
Search Abroad in Japan wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Sunday.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Which decision in particular annoys you?
Where do you want to start?
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, let's see how we got on in Betway's 4 to Score. Entry to Betway's 4 to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. In game 1, Everton versus Brentford, which was of course on Saturday, Kate picked Brian Mbeumo. The result was Yerry Mina got the goal. Game 2, Wolves versus Norwich. Vish picked Josh Sargent. It was, of course, Kenny McLean. In Game 3, Manchester City versus Fulham, Jim picked Ilkay Gundogan. So eventually got that out. Of course, it was Fabio Carvalho. Oh, a glorious 2 minutes we had the lead. And in Game 4, Spurs versus Brighton, Luke picked Harry Kane. It was Harry Kane. 1 out of 4, though, that doesn't mean anything. You've either got to get all 4 or nothing. It's win or lose this, everybody. No prizes for second place. Right, we'll be back for another round of 4 to Score on the preview show this Friday. Now, let's have some emails.
Gotta catch them all.
I love that. Very Roxy music.
Yeah.
Like is it?
No, like as in a Roxy music session where they went, right, let's never do that again.
let's tip our fingers together.
Yeah.
From Andy Matthew, got an email. I'm writing several hours after the emotionally draining fourth round tie between my beloved Kidderminster Harriers and West Ham. Despite the heartbreaking manner of West Ham's late goals, the overwhelming feeling that seems to be coming from a lot of my fellow Harriers is pride. After 5 turbulent seasons since our relegation from the National League, including 2 failed playoff campaigns, 2 seasons finishing prematurely and or behind closed doors, and a former owner's pie-in-the-sky plans for the club dividing sections of the fan base, Russ Penn, Jimmy O'Connor and their team have done an incredible job of bringing the club and the community back together, and this was represented both on and off the pitch throughout the West Ham game. Alex Penny's goal provoked scenes of madness in the home end, and neither of the late West Ham goals can take that moment of feeling away from us. Also, Andrei Yarmolenko is a diving slug who obviously should have been booked.
I love the fact that the overwhelming feeling that seems to be coming from a lot of my fellow Harriers is pride. Yeah. It's not like shame, is it? Disgrace, disappointment, disgust.
Oh, it's let just him have it.
Yeah. No, I won't.
Such a fun weekend of FA Cup action.
Yes, of course. Shoutoutfootballramble.com if you want to, you know, send us your teary-eyed emails or get your questions in for Pep Talks on Wednesday. It should be a lovely old time. Let's go to Kidderminster Harriers 1, West Ham 2. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it was...
So close.
The thing is, though, with the FA Cup, there's so many upsets that we've enjoyed over the years and lower league sides. We just talked about Boreham Wood, for crying out loud, and that stat about them being one of only a handful of teams since the Second World War. If Kidderminster had won this game, it would have been the first sixth tier team to beat a top flight side in the Cup's history.
That's
mad. How close we were. And I would like to say to the barman in the pub who switched off with 20 minutes to go because we could see the build-up for Ireland versus Wales in the Six Nations, can shit off, quite frankly.
You're in the wrong area, mate.
Yeah,
you're in the wrong area.
What pub was that?
I'm not going to give him the publicity.
All that will happen is a mob of Football Ramble fans will go down there and put it apart.
Always propping up the bar, aren't you?
Exactly. But we've got lovely fans, and so they would go down there, and then they would go in and they would buy drinks and food, and then say, look, you shouldn't have done that.
You shouldn't have done that.
But it was very close to Tooting Common in South London,
right,
which I wouldn't put it down as particularly a rugby area, but then that's the trouble with London.
Chinos.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing chinos.
I was about to say. we'd just come off playing football, went in there, and we'd often watch the football in there, and we're thinking, oh my God, this is fantastic. And it's like, what? and the thing is, you're not even showing the build up.
Yeah.
You're just playing music over the top of it.
Right.
So what's the point of this? I know there's a few people with rugby shirts in there. Well, they can, you know.
What you need to do is just look around.
Right.
Can you see men with boot cut jeans and brown shoes? You need to leave because you know this will happen.
That was just Dele Alli.
To be honest, I'm surprised I don't put like grand designs on, things like that. Just a lot of estate agents in that area.
Oh, my
you could basically close your eyes, point in any direction, say, that guy looks like Dapper Laughs, and you will always be right.
Yeah. The changing dynamics of London's population.
That's also my town as well.
Yeah, so I'm still angry about that. But, yes, Kidderminster, I mean, oh my goodness, it was just the way that Alex Penny went wild after scoring that opening goal, you thought, oh, okay,
there we go.
That's what we want. That's what we want.
Stuff.
And the game goes on and on. And West Ham weren't creating an awful lot. Harriers were very, very well drilled. But I hate saying this, but when Declan Rice... that's enough. When Declan Rice goes into the box, I know that Kidderminster are absolutely knackered, and the emotion, the focus that you have to have for that long against a far superior opponent, blah, 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 blah. Don't let him cut inside. Show him down the line. Do you know what I mean? As soon as like he does, and it's Declan Rice, he's a very talented footballer. I was like, oh no. And he hammers the ball.
It's easy to say though, isn't it?
Of course it is.
He could do that to all of us easily.
Jim, I'd been playing football only, an hour earlier, and I was, that guy is well better at me than football.
Well, okay. Better at me.
He's trying to fit in with the estate agent.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Well, better at me.
He is by far a superior player.
But did they want to do that just so he would appear in the showers with them? Remember, didn't he rock up in the Kidderminster showers?
Yeah,
did
with
he?
The boys? Yeah, I think so. I think it's what I read.
No, that's right. Declan Rice did shower with them after the game. Well, a few of them, according to old Russ Penn. The away dressing room, their showers are really small, so they mixed in with ours.
That's a nightmare, because rice puffs up when it's wet. Give me no room.
It's things like this that will live in their memories.
What was he doing? A willy copter? What's going on?
That's not a quote from Rice, is it? Remember this!
That's Penn.
Right.
Yeah. I've got a couple of shirts. Their kit man has been excellent.
Oh.
That's nice, isn't it? That's very, very nice. But Russ Penn did say it's a huge honour for me to be managing across from David Moyes, even though he is well better at me than this. He said lovely words. He said, well done. We didn't deserve it. It's all very easy when the team goes... This is like Pep Guardiola saying after the Fulham game, oh my God, they made me suffer so much the way they played football. It's just like, they try and play football the way you like it, which means you stuff them, ultimately.
Yeah.
Because you're a lot better. You like that. Had they have tried to defend, and you wouldn't like that. Yeah, very much on your
side. I love the pictures of Moyes backstage.
Oh yeah,
In Russ Penn's little office.
Yeah,
having a Budweiser. Fantastic.
They've got the pecking order very much down, haven't they? At Kidderminster Harriers, the manager has got like a big old desk as you see, and then the picture of his assistant. I mean, it was
he's right next to the mini fridge.
Yeah.
Great location.
It was like his desk.
Who's getting the milk first?
I tell you what, it was like his desk was a mini fridge. It was that big. He's barely the width of the chair, for crying out loud. Alex Penny, of course, former teammate at Hull with Jared Bowen.
Ah.
I know, who denied us penalties. We didn't even get penalties.
No.
Because I had to listen to the thing on the radio on the way home, obviously, because of that idiot in the pub.
Yeah.
I think it was Ray Houghton on the BBC on Five Live. I think it was Ray Houghton. Said after the game, well, to be honest, I mean, that result, that performance, it really sort of sums up West Ham's season. I was like, what? Like scraping a win against, like, much crapper opposition. How does that sum up there? Anyway, it's funny what people can read into it. According to Ben Fisher's match report in The Guardian, a couple of minutes before halftime, a Kidderminster fan gave the chairman, Richard Lane, a, and I quote, whopping kiss on the cheek.
That's not Corbyn compliant.
Was it Robert Plant? Did Plant one? He was in the crowd, Jimmy.
Oh, he was. Good. I thought you were just making a really bizarre, like...
Robert Plant, Led Zeppelin lead singer.
Yeah.
I think they're finished, so we can say former Led Zeppelin lead singer. He's a big Kidderminster Harriers fan.
Yeah.
He was in the crowd.
Where's Alison Krauss? They're always seen together.
I've no idea. But that is more important than you turning out to see Hartlepool.
Yeah, I would say that is the case, yeah, certainly. But Yannick Gers in the pooly end?
A weird dig. You're not as famous as
the lead singer.
Robert Plant is well better than you.
I'll take that. But Spennymoor have got a the Spennymoor match has been called off next week. So Kidderminster have got a week off, which is cool.
Yeah.
So they can celebrate all week.
That's right.
Winning an FA Cup match. There's the dig.
It was gutting though, Jimmy.
It was a real shame.
But at least though, it was certainly from Rice, a moment of quality that cost them. It wasn't like it was a missed penalty or something like
Declan
that.
Declan Rice just took the ball by the horns and was like, fuck this.
Yeah, and such a likeable lad and obviously an England player and so on. I think fine. And they got to
see Antonio can't play in the next round.
No. At least they got to see him in the nude.
That's true.
Declan Rice, that is. I don't know about Antonio.
No.
So there we are. Speaking of near giant killings, Chelsea 2, Plymouth 1.
Yeah.
Mm. I tell you what. At the same time on Saturday, League One Plymouth were busy holding the European champions while Kidderminster Harriers were 1-0 up against West Ham.
Were they holding and kissing?
Were you going talking about the showers and Declan Rice again? I mention, of course, with Kidderminster Harriers, at least it was a moment of quality and so on that stopped them. Plymouth, Ryan Hardy missing a penalty in the 118th minute. And the sad thing for him is, and I don't want to, well, I am sort of inadvertently rubbing in here, is that when they remember that day, he will have that memory of, we could have taken the penalties. Now, I'll try and help you out here. Chelsea would have definitely won the penalty shootout, okay? But, you know, it's a great shame. I mean, it was a great save from Kepa.
But it's enjoyable to see a goalkeeper hold a penalty.
It is.
You rarely see it.
Unless you're Ryan Hardy,
yeah. In which case, it's probably sort of extra salt in the wound.
Absolutely right. I mean, but they've nothing to be ashamed of, et cetera, cliche, because Chelsea are the European champions, you know what I mean? But Chelsea had 41 shots and 20 corners. Tuchel said before the game that it was not going to be about youngsters, and then he named a very strong 11. So, he was aware of the dangers of Argyle.
The Plymouth fans, or some of the Plymouth fans, had to leave at 3 a.m. on Saturday morning to make the midday kickoff. Less than 5 hours away. What are you doing?
Yeah, I was...
where have you lost? What's going on there then? Does that mean I needed to get to the pub for 10?
Yeah.
Because that has to be part of it, presumably.
Maybe.
Because that seems mad.
I mean, I know the southwest of England is sort of kind of cut off in terms of transport, but
is it a train thing?
No, that's it. No, driving is 5 hours.
Yeah, but not
to
everyone
London.
Drives, Pete. Oh, I'm
on
Pete.
A bus,
I'm in
mate.
A, I'm
on
in a
bus.
Car now.
I'm presuming on a bus.
I've practically got wheels.
It takes longer.
I can drive, so why shouldn't everyone else be able to
longer
drive?
It takes longer there, doesn't it? Let's have a look. Train.
Hey, look, if the train service is not great.
Train's 3 hours 40. Three
yeah,
hours 12.
Say, if the train,
less.
But it's not your own personal train, is it? That's the problem.
What do you mean?
You're beholden to the timetable.
I don't think.
Yeah, but to be fair, right, if this is a part of the country.
They're not spaced out by 3 hours, are they?
Yeah,
it's one hour at least.
If it's cut off, as it is often with public transport, then at 3 a.m., there's not going to be a train then, is there?
No,
So they are driving then.
I'm just confused.
Or walking.
Yeah, they were walking.
Maybe they were walking.
They cycled. Good luck to them. So there we are.
I'm calling them all thick. I don't think we can work a train timetable or a car.
Was it because of that you were supporting Chelsea?
You're walking west again! Idiot!
Oh, dear.
Sorry,
Plymouth
fans.
Yeah, anyway.
That's probably the mention they want, isn't it?
Just to push
Chelsea really close. Oh, I can't wait to listen to the rival today. Why did it take so long to get there, you fucking bumpkins?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
To put it in context, Chelsea flew out for the Club World Cup later on that Saturday.
Could have flown, see?
Yeah.
Plymouth Airport, is that a thing? I don't know.
There is an airport down that way.
Yeah.
Neil Warnock knows.
Did Tuchel go? Because he had COVID, obviously. He probably won't be able to go to the old Club World Cup.
Yeah.
He'll stay at home.
Oh, that's a shame, because that's the one they want. Yeah. But yeah, great performance from Plymouth. Very, very sad for the neutrals to see Chelsea win, but great for Chelsea, of course, who are firing on all the cup fronts.
They'll probably win it, won't they?
Well, I just think it's really typical of their season.
Yes, indeed it is, Jim. Indeed it is. What about Nottingham Forest 4, Leicester City 1? I mean,
typical
it's fairly
of
typical
season.
Of all the old tricky trees, actually, at the moment, under Steve Cooper, who's doing a magnificent job. Mm. The holders are out! It's an open cup.
Yeah.
It wasn't even... We should really be talking about this at the start of the show, because it was an amazing football
Any
match.
Other
huge. But it wasn't a giant killing because Leicester are doing this every week lately.
Forest, of course, beat Arsenal in the previous round.
They could have had so many more as well.
But see, this is the thing, isn't it? With the Arsenal game, they played it very well. They kept it tight. They took a chance when it came.
Yep.
They
dicked on Forrest. Leicester. It was a really different thing.
They really did. I mean, they gave him the old 1-2 early on, didn't they? I think the cameras had barely kind of finished the replays, and then was it Johnson nipped in to slot home?
What a cool... Nuts. Love it. Yeah. Nutmeg's his international teammate. Yes, please.
Yeah, it was a delightful one. And Spencer's goal to wrap up, you're saying how they dicked on him.
That is
a dicking, isn't it? When it's just like, get in the corner.
He is an enjoyably talented and long young man.
I very much enjoyed them bringing Newcastle legend Jack Cole back on with half an hour to go. He's had a bit of a resurgence in the Forest side. He's a very simple player. He's a seedless, easy peeler of a man. He just stands there. He breaks up the play and he just gives it to someone who can play a bit of football. And that's like, it's such a simple job, but he just does it so beautifully. Yeah. I think he's having a lovely time. But he doesn't play as many matches as you'd imagine he might. But I hope Cooper gets to finish what he started at Forest, because he obviously came to Forest and a few fans were a little bit, like the Swansea fans didn't have that much to say about him, saying he's very defensive, a little bit boring or whatever. And look what he's producing for Forest this year. He may very well find himself in a Premier League job, and it may not be in the dugout for Forest, unfortunately.
But it may be. Because they're not...
Okay. You can't get up there with the FA Cup win.
Yeah.
We know that much.
No, but I'm saying, though, that if you look at the Championship
you
table...
You turn me into shit on everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Peter, they're 2 points off the playoffs.
Mm.
And
since
he took over at Forest in September,
Forest. They play with different rules.
Marcus, your aunt's got a problem. you're all in denial about it. She shouldn't be so giddy.
Nottingham Forest are a dropped cake of a team. They're just constantly just dropping it and going, well, that was beautiful, and we busted it. Celebration.
Jeff Shreves over there doing the post-match. Yeah, and you're banned from the next round. Don't celebrate this. You don't deserve your medal. Oh, dear.
Leicester will probably beat Liverpool this week.
Leicester will not be beating Liverpool this week.
They might do. Clipping that.
Well,
time code, Charlie. 39.
Brother Brendy, eh? What about the Brodge? He didn't hold back, did he? He said that he was embarrassed and that time could be up for this squad. Big words. He's questioning the integrity of the team. He said they've won the FA Cup. That might be it for them, but it's not it for me. And he makes a point, Jim. They've struggled this season. They were FA Cup and they were close to getting full spot last year. And they really have dropped off this season.
It's not a good sign, is it? Because obviously Brendan Rodgers has had this issue a few times with Leicester, where essentially things have fallen away when they've looked really promising. And
Leicester had that season after they won the Premier League as well.
Well, very much so, but perhaps not quite as... You know, it's dramatic here, but it's clearly a regular problem, isn't it? So it's surprising to hear Rodgers be so to be critical of his squad at all, ever, isn't it? It's not really something he falls onto. So, but that is a sign that things are not right behind the scenes.
Well, if you think about his sort of recent
and in front of the scenes,
well, indeed, his recent jobs, have we seen Brendan Rodgers turn around a situation where it's gone a bit?
No,
we haven't. At Celtic, you know, they were playing great stuff and winning everything, and then he left when they were obviously still in that sort of frame. Yeah, exactly, frame. At Liverpool, when it started to go a little bit, you know, obviously he got them going and they were close, but when it's... the owners felt like he wasn't going to be able to turn it around.
He's a two-year contract guy, isn't he, really?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think it would be a great shame if Leicester changed him, because I think... I would suggest it's probably personnel on the pitch that needs to be sort of changed and so on, rather than Rodgers. But and obviously the owner there, you know, is very likely with a good relationship, blah, 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 blah. But it is a Premier League job, and it's a big job as well these days, and it is not a bad group.
They won this competition up to 12 months ago, and they're almost kind of giving the FA Cup the shot on the arm that they needed by giving it so much respect that they just massively drop off after winning it. like the league.
Well, they're not worthy.
Yeah, they're sort of, well, we've done it now.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Well, I think that's his point, and he's kind of saying, as the manager of this team, I don't want that to be the case, of course. But
I mean, they're sat in 10th in the Premier League. They've sort of underwhelmed under the radar a little bit, do you know what I mean?
But having been so close to fourth spot, and that's the thing, isn't it? They want to kick on. You get that fourth spot, you get into the Champions League. You know, Youri Tielemans has gone there when he could have gone to other teams, because Rodgers sold him what he was doing, and he was thinking, right, soon enough, we hope that you'll be playing in the Champions League for Leicester City. And he was right to say that. to Tielemans.
His attempt at clearing the third goal off the line was amazing.
It
looked like one of those like FIFA glitches where a player moves in like a really unnatural way.
Really laggy. Yeah.
But that type of player, though, as I say, you get into the Champions League, suddenly you take yourself to that next level, which is why West Ham fans are a bit disappointed when... Was it the other day they were beaten and thinking, oh no, it was in the January transfer window. It was like, no, try and get to that level. So you can get to that level. It's there for the taking, of course. But Leicester, not to be. And with full spots so up for grabs, you'd think with Leicester, with their previous campaigns, they would grab it. But anyway, we're now talking about the Premier League and not the FA Cup, which is where we're going to stay with our... And finally, Manchester United lost to Middlesbrough on penalties at Old Trafford. After a 1-1 draw, 8-7 on penalties, they lost. And it was very, very enjoyable for the neutral.
It was indeed.
What a Friday night. What a way.
I could watch Man United lose every Friday, you know.
I had a bad tummy because I keep on eating bad cream and getting really ill. It'd only been out for a couple of hours and I was like, this'll be fine again.
Where had it been?
On the side.
What?
Just on the side, and I ate some bad cream, dipped my Doritos in it, and was instantly boffending it.
Do you mean sour cream?
Sour cream,
yeah. Right, okay.
But it was extra sour cream.
When you
cream.
Said you dipped your Doritos in it, I was a bit like,
it's not a euphemism.
No, I didn't think it was a euphemism. I just thought it was ridiculous behaviour.
Right, okay.
An ingredient that goes into ice cream, you shouldn't be dipping in your Doritos in, but sour cream.
Sour cream,
Well, how does it go bad? It's already sour.
Yeah, I know, that's what I mean. That's what I assumed. You can't... It's only going to get better with age, isn't it?
Tricked, haven't you? Yeah.
But I just keep getting ill doing it. It's horrible. But but I had a really bad stomach, and I was like sort of watching it, and it made me feel better. Restorative.
Is that
FA
right?
Cup fixture.
Thought, this always makes me ill, but maybe this is the time that it won't do. But yes,
watching Man United does.
Well, I nearly called this a giant killing a moment ago, but that. You know, would have been a lie. But yes, what a penalty shootout. Obviously, 1-1, no controversy during the game other than the goal from Middlesbrough. Cristiano Ronaldo missed a penalty.
He did.
Now, we talked about Sadio Mane. I mean, he did make amends in the penalty shootout, but it was more Jan than Mane, it would turn out, of course.
Yeah, I mean, Miguel Delaney on Twitter was legitimately comparing the way Ronaldo plays at the moment to Niall Quinn.
Right.
Which is enjoyable.
Yeah. Quinn, I'd still... Who would you prefer? High ball coming into the box, nod it.
It's got to be Quinn, isn't it? Yeah. Quinn of Bay.
It's got to be.
This day and age.
Because he can nod it down to the...
Prime Niall Quinn versus this iteration of Ronaldo. There's only one winner there.
Mrs. Mangle, that painting with her long neck. I'd have her on headers.
There you go. The only thing that I was thought was a real shame, it was Anthony Elanga who missed the decisive kick. That was a real shame because... He was just gutted, wasn't he? And it was good to see his teammates, obviously, comforting him. But yeah, you want like it to be one of the high profile players as the neutral. But I'm not neutral here at all, am I? No, what was very, very pleasing was seeing 37-year-old Sol Bamba hammer in the fifth penalty, which was his only touch of the game. He came on in the 118th minute.
That's how you do it at 37, isn't it?
That's how you do it, baby. So marvellous stuff at Old Trafford. And what I did find quite funny is when Elanga blazed the ball over the bar, the Borough keeper ran away celebrating as if he'd saved it. And then they were all running after him. I was like, hang on. He hasn't
saved. I gave him the eyes. Yeah. I gave him the eyes.
Eight. He hasn't saved any of those eight.
I can't remember which Borough player tweeted, keep the arm open until 5 a.m.
Very enjoyable. Well done, FA Cup, even though we didn't get Kidderminster in the next round.
It was
Plymouth.
A great round.
It was a great one, and those teams did themselves proud. Marvellous. I mean, like I say, you look at the fifth round draw and you think, Forest at home to Huddersfield. Forest, I mean, they're already on a good run. You've got to fancy them to win there. Manchester City get Peterborough in the next round. That's how it works. But so there we are. It's a grand old time. Lovely old job. Right, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. On tomorrow's show, I'm back with Jim and Vish will be joining us too, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. That's exciting, isn't it? Marvellous. All right, well, until tomorrow. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Fairly well.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.